Our first scripture reading today is from the Old Testament, Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us," and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. And our New Testament reading is from Luke. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him."
So I wanted to show you one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. An experience that even to this day sort of excites this sense of awe in the center of my chest. This is a picture I took as we were flying out of New Zealand toward Australia while I was on sabbatical. And it's the sun rising over the ocean. And the contrast is so stark that you can see the curvature of the earth. Sorry, all you flat earthers. And I assure you that while the picture does a fair job of representing the spectrum of colors, it's nothing like seeing it firsthand. But then again, that's kind of what the experience of awe is like, right? A momentary spark of unimaginable wonder, a sight that stretches the ability of the eyes to take it all in, a surreal connection to all things that almost takes your breath away. What are those things that inspire awe or amazement for you? I'll take a few. newborn baby? Nature.
Complicated machinery working as it should. Yes, I'm an engineer. I get into that stuff.
You know, if you Google things that inspire awe, almost inevitably the first one is often the Grand Canyon. I don't think my boys were so impressed with the Grand Canyon when we got there. Well, the truth of the matter is awe and amazement are all around us. You just named it. It's all around us. The problem is, I think we become so preoccupied with everything else that's going on in the world, and often rightly so, when we're talking about Gaza and Israel and things like that, that we fail to recognize those things that bring us to that place of amazement. And I would guess that much of the time when we experience that sense of awe, it was right in front of us all along. That flower as it bursts into bloom, the trees as they trade their shades of green for coats of many colors, the peace and tranquility of a sleeping newborn infant. You know, I would be willing to bet that one of the reasons that we no longer encounter miracles isn't because they don't happen anymore, but because we've lost our ability to be awed, to be amazed at the mystery of our existence. After all, in our Enlightenment way of thinking, every event has a scientific causation, and everything can be explained in systematic or methodical manner. And so we've lost our ability to recognize the miraculous, which is one step closer, I'm afraid, to losing touch with the sacred. So it's no wonder that we struggle to rejoice in a weary world, because we've allowed ourselves, or we allow ourselves, in order to rejoice in that weary world, we allow ourselves to be amazed. We have to allow ourselves to be awestruck. We have to pay attention to that which we allow ourselves to seize the moment when wonder washes over us. Seize the moment when those senses have been heightened or excited, senses that maybe we thought had become numb. You know, perhaps that's why Luke goes so far in his gospel to point out the awe and the amazement that exists in our world, especially in the birth narrative of Jesus. Take the shepherds, for example. I mean, it would be amazing enough to have an angel of the Lord appear in front of you, but an angel accompanied by the glory of God that I imagine didn't just shine on them, but I would guess was more like it shone through them. We're told that they were terrified. But get this, the Hebrew word yirah, which is often translated as fear, as in respect or reverence, like fear of the Lord, can also be translated awe, as an amazement and wonder, but it also has a third aspect to it, and that's to tremble, to be so filled with awe that they might tremble. And maybe that gets us just a little bit closer to the experience of the shepherds in their fields. amazed, afraid, and trembling with the glory of God. But the angel tells them not to be afraid, yeah, right? But rather that he brings good news. Good news of the Christ child lying in the manger. And then that one angel turns into a multitude of angels singing and praising God. And the shepherds do what anyone who's experienced something incredibly awesome does. They go into Bethlehem to share the good news. And when they do, we're told that the people they share this miraculous news with are amazed as well. Which kind of leaves you wondering if awe isn't a little bit contagious, as in our text for today. When the time came for Elizabeth to give birth and she had a son, the entire community comes out in this sort of collective amazement, recognizing that the gift given to Elizabeth and Zechariah was nothing short of miraculous. And when Elizabeth chooses the name John instead of the traditional family name, and when Zechariah is unable to speak for several months but confirms her choice and suddenly regains his speech, the text tells us that fear came upon all their neighbors. But then again, if fear is connected with awe, then the people experienced this collective awe, this God at work among them, something not always seen if one isn't paying attention. Or in other words, the whole experience isn't so much fearful as it is awe-full or filled with awe. And Zechariah doesn't just speak. He bursts into a song of thanksgiving, praising God for the wonder that's come among them, as if he's overcome with so much emotion, so much awe and amazement that he simply can't keep it all in. And so there's nothing to do but for it to spill forth. When was the last time you experienced that kind of awe? The kind where you can't help but call up your friends and share your good news. After all, awe can mean many things. But when we truly feel it, we know it. We know it's there. That sense of being in the presence of something that transcends our understanding of the world. Or like our psalm reading for this morning, awe creates a shift in the cosmos such that dreams become reality, laughter becomes contagious, and tongues come alive with shouts of joy. At the same time, while awe is often associated with dramatic, life-changing events, the truth is we can find it in our everyday lives because awe can come from any experience that transcends or transforms our understanding of the world, which suggests that awe can be activated by something as spectacular as the Grand Canyon, or as simple as witnessing an act of kindness. When we feel like awe is lacking in our lives, we must first allow ourselves to take notice, to take in the amazing wonders that are all around us each day. Wonders that we often too easily ignore. Because as people of faith, we need to practice being open to awe and amazement. Or sometimes it's in the smallest, most mundane moments that we discover that awe. Events like the swirl of silky creamer in your morning coffee, the carefully crafted bird nest in your favorite tree, the timid steps of a toddler as they discover the confidence to walk, or the dappled sunlight refracting through your office window. So let us practice this awe during this season so that we can be open to the miraculous all around us, like the miracle of God coming among us in the smile of a stranger, in the touch of a friend, or the form of a child laying in a manger, waiting to transform the world.